Hello and welcome to Stardrop Tea,
a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Shirley. So excited to chat today with you because we have a lovely topic.
Oh, Shirley, what is the topic?
The topic is Stardew Valley movie.
Stardew Valley the movie?
Yes.
Wait, when does that come out?
Maybe never. No idea.
We don't know. We have no idea. But yeah, I have definitely seen rumors on Stardew Valley Reddit, same, which is a great place. Yeah, I would love to get into this.
I'm really excited. There have been actually rumors for years. When I was doing a little bit of research for this topic, I've seen that people have been talking about what would a potential movie be like for, I don't know, 5, 7 plus years. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to talk about it because recently we just had some other major movies based off of games. Like, yep, there's the Lego movie and Barbie, which have done amazing. True. And then Minecraft just came out and that crushed it, yep, in theaters.
Super Mario.
So yeah, Super Mario.
Yeah, Angry Birds.
I didn't watch the Hedgehog movie, so no.
The Hedgehog. you're not even gonna Sonic. Say it. You're not even gonna say
didn't
it.
Watch it.
Oh my gosh, I loved that whole debacle of the character redesign. Was just that and Glossier's reformulation of bomb.com is like such a testament how like bullying can work. And like, hashtag not sponsored. I understand that I'm wearing a Glossier hoodie.
I don't know what I was going to say.
I'm wearing a Glossier hoodie right now. I have owned this for years. But yeah, bullying does work sometimes. Bullying for good.
This is an anti-bullying podcast.
Yeah, we are not pro-bullying. But folks.
But for corporations, yes, oh, I think it's important.
Oh, Jay.
Because corporations are not people.
They're not people.
But I'm really excited to chat about this game because I think it could be incredible as a movie. Yep. But I want to start off immediately off the gate. Do you think it should be live action or an animated movie?
Okay, such a good question. There were a couple of places that I saw on Reddit where folks were talking about this, and there was a lot of pushback on having it be live action because folks, of course, are used to the like 8-bit graphics, mm-hmm, and that in itself really elicits a lot of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I would even posit that a lot of this game takes place within like the player's imagination. Because, truly, mm-hmm, because it's sort of like, it's a step up from like text-based RPG games, mm-hmm, because that's like 100% that's happening just like in your mind's eye. But with Stardew Valley, there's like enough there. And what is there is gorgeous, let me be clear. But it's still like, no one's like sweating over a render engine, mm-hmm, unless they are. But
we actually don't know all of that.
Yeah, yes. So that could be debunked at any point. But the fact that it is so low res, I think, leaves a lot of room for imagination. And people were bringing up the fact that imagination element could potentially be spoiled if it was live action.
That's really interesting. I felt that way about the movies Avatar: The Last Airbender, because there's something about the way that it was created, the artistic style in the actual show, that didn't fully translate in a movie. That can be a concern, I think, for this game.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it reminds me of when a book is translated into a movie. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the text-based RPG, the fact that it's all happening in your imagination. And then there's like debate over what the characters actually look like. And I feel like even though we just talk about like non-modded vanilla play, there are certainly mods that modify the characters' appearances.
Oh, yeah.
In order to, most hilarious example that I can think of just off the top of my head, make Emily look a little less creepy.
Yes, the smile of just hi.
Oh my God, yeah. It's like, this
is this amethyst for me?
Yeah.
Yes,
and you're like,
is.
Wow, I didn't realize the cursed mannequin was now like Haley's sister. Get this out of here.
There's a lot to be said and desired for the image that they have provided of her just smiling. I can imagine in a live action that is just a super happy-go-lucky person who is super joyful.
Yes.
And that is beautiful in the image and the, mm-hmm, drawing. It comes off of certainly a different way. So it's super interesting because for me that brings up a couple of things. For live action, there's obviously a lot to be said about the voice pairing with what in our mind, which again, in our imagination, like we yes. don't know what any of these characters sound like.
Okay, that's such a good point.
We just know the text of what they say, and then there's music. We are attributing voice onto these characters that doesn't exist. And so when I see the text from The Wizard, I have a very distinct voice that comes into my head, which for me, when we talk about like who we think are going to play, the same person will play the live action as they would play in the animated version of okay. The Wizard. And that's where I leave it at that for that. So I'm just saying all that because it changes things for me, where in the live action, I'm looking for the voice matching, but I also am looking for visually that person sort of resembles the characteristics that I know of the NPCs and the farmer, which again, who is the farmer? Because the farmer can be anyone. And yes. That's wild.
Yes. Yeah. So there's, okay, the voice piece, I'm so happy you brought that up because that's actually something I hadn't necessarily dug too deep in. Like there's some characters that are a low human personification character, like your fave, Krobe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, the voice thing, I can't get over it. And so, for example, just to pick on somebody. So Alex, big football guy, maybe, and this is something that he said to me that now I'm thinking about it in maybe a different tone of voice. If you weren't a girl, I'd ask you to play catch. Like, what if that's how he, right?
That's not how I hear him at all. That's incredible.
No?
Who is that?
That's Pinocchio. Oh my I gosh. Think from yeah. Shrek.
Oh, yeah. I hear him now. Yeah.
Yeah. But truly, it's matching the voice with the character. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. There's so much potential with this rendition of the game into a movie. I think it could be really cool either way. And obviously, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to, I'm sure, the creators of the game to agree upon it, because I don't think that they'll be able to get sign off. But outside of that, I like that it's a game also that can go any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a through line and like a story progression in some sort of way with how NPCs grow and their bond with you, and that story with like the 8 heart and the 10 heart events, etc., that everyone has as long as they continue in that progression with bonding or having a relationship with the characters. But you can also play in any kind of way.
Right. And I was recently talking to one of our listeners who wrote in, I believe it was Bogdan.
Yes,
Bogdan. They had mentioned that they hadn't talked to anyone except the wizard. And I just thought that was such an incredible, number one, great, like, wow. Like, such, the diversity of humanity is amazing.
Yes,
I love that. It also was such an interesting look into a completely different play style than my own, because the second that Robin or Lewis or whichever you meet first, is like, you better go meet everybody in town. I was like, well, off I go. Like, but Bogdan wrote in and was saying that they hadn't talked to anybody.
Yeah. And that really speaks to the extroverted nature of who you are as an individual. True. I felt like I had to go talk to the people at Pelican Town. I was like, fine. Because I know I'm going to get something out of this.
That's so funny. So it's like a task for you.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, great.
Hey, because I was like, it was kind of a task for me, but less like I was just like, okay. Like,
and this is the last I'll talk about my gameplay because I want to move back to the movie. Yeah. But as soon as I get to 10 hearts with everyone and I don't even have to marry anyone, I just need to get to 10 hearts to everyone, I never talk to them again. Because, spoiler alert.
Whoa.
If you have dated all of the players and you have given them a bouquet of roses and you're officially dating, you get to the 10 heart event, that's it. Unless something changes with 1.6, their relationship points with you or the friendship points don't diminish if you don't talk to them. Where right now, until you get to a certain level, everyone diminishes if you don't talk to them.
Wow.
So as soon as I get to 10 hearts with everyone, I never talk to them again. I was like, unless I feel like I need to,
okay,
we're good. I have completed my task. and I can move on with my life.
This is so interesting because meanwhile, I'm out here, it's springtime. I see a leak and I'm like, I gotta go bring this to George.
Yeah,
George is gonna go crazy for this leak. Yeah. And that, yeah, I love this game so much.
Yes.
Yeah, just that it allows for that flexibility and diversity of play. Gorgeous.
So imagine that in a movie.
Yeah, so that's the first thing that I wanted to bring up with you is if in this beautiful, bright future, there was a Stardew Valley movie, what would it be about? And I had seen on Reddit that there was a in r/Stardew Valley user name own_rough4888 posted if they ever did a Stardew Valley movie, what would it be about? Would it be the initial story arc of a burned out tech worker discovering the simple life of farming and in love in a quirky small town? I don't know. Would it be about magic and the Junimos? Polyamory in the farm? ? Sure. This is, of course, an archived post. It was posted 7 months ago. But I think this is a really interesting way to kind of kick things off. There's speculation about Junimos and the community center. There's pushback on the romance element. Some people are saying that's like played out. One comment from a user here, cannibal-ascending, says, plot twist, they date Krobus.
If I could, I would, to be honest. If I could, I would.
Wow.
I would love that.
So yeah, what do you think? So what would the Stardew Valley movie be about?
Yeah, and I love that this person brings it up because we've talked about it too. And I mean, a lot of this podcast is kind of that slice of life of going into the intricate details of a specific text and figuring out what does that mean? What does this life look like? I love the idea that some people present of just what if it's before the farmer gets to town? Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a bit about grandpa.
Oh my gosh.
What if we get that backstory?
Backstory would be crazy.
And for me, that could be even more exciting of what is a potential backstory. And I would even put that very explicitly at the beginning of the movie. This is a potential backstory because some people have created like entire stories and there's fan fiction about this. So like, I think acknowledging that the fan base has created so much because of their love of this game and how, because you can have so much imagination. If I was whoever is making this movie, I would be very thoughtful about saying this is just one potential universe.
That there's so many opportunities as well to speak to the fan culture and like leverage that like fan created content. It would have to be thoughtfully done, of course. And then like right off the bat, like while I was writing out the plan for this episode, I was thinking about how potentially there could be like a fourth wall break with the fact that there's a movie theater in Pelican Town. So like, what does that mean? And yeah, I love a well done fourth wall break. So yeah, the Pelican Town backstory, I feel like that's like a really natural like additional exploration point, especially because we are getting into this space where like IP is being prioritized over stories. However, this is an opportunity potentially for there to be an additional story written based on this gorgeous world. So I think that's really interesting. And of course, wanted to throw it over to you. What about the Junimos?
What about them? Yeah. How do they come into it? That's also really cool. It could be about how did they come into this world? What is their ultimate goal? I'd like to know what happens to them as we progress in our story and they're helping with the farm. Like, is there more to this? I have now resolved whatever karmic celestial issues there were at the community center.
Yes, escape the karmic cycle.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like I'm, you know, just putting wood up and like repairing it. Like there's a little bit more to that, and we have reconnected him back to the land, and then they go on to help me in different spaces, and they could be part of my farm and all that. But I want more for them. I want them to have an expanded storyline. I think it could be really lovely. And so there's that potential. I also like, I think there were some people talking about a storyline of the farmer trying to take over the town and like finally putting an end to Mayor Luce's reign.
Whoa.
And I fully stand by that idea. So, yeah.
Whoa. Okay. I had not even considered that as well. Wow.
Yeah. What do you think of some potential storylines? Because there's so many.
There are so many. There's of like, I love the Pelican Town backstory. And then I would even maybe even like push that further and almost go into like a, not necessarily like explicitly a Star Wars style, like in a galaxy, but in a time long ago, whatever.
I present to you my galaxy sword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People are screaming at their phones right now. They're like, no, it's a long, long time ago. I know. But to go back even further with maybe like a stylized sort of story within story about the dwarves and the shadow people, and potentially the Junimos could like fold into that. We could have like a really gorgeous, I don't know, like a very stylized exploration of that. So I've got two very different examples. One being Candyman, the use of like shadow puppets as a like exposition sort of paradigm. And then on, well, no, they're both horror movies. I watch a lot of horror movies, folks. okay. So the new Candyman, which folks, if you haven't seen it, please check it out. If you like horror movies, it is like a gorgeous, sumptuous, rich, painful, beautifully styled film. The interiors are just, it's jewel tones all the way down and like extremely healthy looking plants, and everyone is moisturized. Like just beautiful.
And
beautiful.
What is this about?
Oh, we don't have time. Okay. But yeah, no, we'll talk about that after.
But you have described a really beautiful scene for me. Well, I'm intrigued.
Actually, that's interesting because both of these, my examples are like really beautiful films, but they're in sort of this, anyway, we're losing the plot here. But so another example would be at the beginning of like Midsommar, mm-hmm. with like the tapestry and like kind of showing things that way. So I'm curious if we could do, because there is already like carvings exist in the game. Mm-hmm. So that could be leveraged. Yeah, there's all kind of like in the volcanic caldera, there's what we were talking about last week about the like we came from the stars. Like that could be used. So there's a backstory I really like. And then I'm going to throw maybe one to you to riff on. What about a little bit of Pierre Caroline Wizard Abigail drama?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Again, before the farmer gets there, I think that would be incredible because we have not talked about it, but we will be discussing who is the father of Abigail. I think it's an important question to ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And is it even the two people that we think it might be? Could there be a third?
Yes.
So
yeah.
There's all that. Option. So I love that because for me, central and key characters in this potential movie are the Junimos.
Right.
And the wizard.
Interesting. Okay. That's really interesting.
Those are very important to me. Mm-hmm. There could be others.
Well, the wizard has an additional backstory that I don't know if we ever really get because he was married before, remember? Mm-hmm. To the witch. And so,
who still haunts this place?
Oh, she's all over the place, leaving mm-hmm. weird eggs. So I'm curious if, in fact, oh no, is Abigail the witch and the wizard's daughter? I don't know, but why is she being raised by? I don't know. Anyways, I think
that's a whole other episode, but that could be its own movie.
Yes.
The other thing for me is, what if it's not a movie? Or maybe it's a movie that gets you excited for a show.
Yeah.
I think a series makes the most sense because there's so much backstory that would be incredible for a show. Mm-hmm. Like everything that we talked about in this podcast is, you know, feel free to talk to us, send us some money for some ideas. Yeah. Just kidding. But not kidding. And
no, yeah, write it in. StarDropTPodcast@gmail.com. We're not kidding.
That would be incredible. And there's so much that can happen there that a movie will never be able to fully capture. And if we want to appeal to the masses, I guess, as like the recent silver screen movies, it probably would need to be the journey of the farmer as they navigate being new to town, exploring tasks, being told to do things too. And I think that can be kind of funny. I'm just like, okay, like your purple shorts, like, yeah. Okay, what?
It, like, we just met.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of am thinking almost in the opposite direction, that we're like, we get like a deep backstory. We get like all the intricacies of like town life and all the bizarre codependent behaviors and addictions and yes. like all that. And then every once in a while, this like clueless farmer stumbles in and someone's like, hey, can you go get me a largemouth bass? Okay, get this guy out of here. And just like... And the farmer is just like, I don't know if I should be here for this. Like, this feels like a family matter. I don't need to be here.
So maybe the farmer is a supporting actor.
Yeah. The farmer is like a minor character.
I love that.
In this. Yeah. I think that's really fun to think about, that it's almost like they're always trying to like get rid of the farmer and being like, what is this guy doing here? Or like someone will be having like a crisis, as does happen, and the farmer will just like haplessly stumble upon them, as happens.
That's so true. There's technically nothing really happening with me besides I have been given this farm. The entirety of everything else that I am a part of is other people's drama or conversations or growth. I have no actual 8 heart event or 10 heart event. I'm just like, yeah, I guess I'll help you go to therapy.
Yeah, it's springtime again. Time to plow these fields. Yeah, it's truly
I will go camping with you.
All of the calls are coming from well outside of the house.
Oh my god.
So that's like a fun sort of way that I was thinking about that. There's also like so many other pieces of backstory that we don't get, like the Gotoro Empire like war situation. Mm-hmm. There's like anything to do with the caves. Like, what's going on? What's going on down there? I feel like the Junimos, I think it was interesting that you mentioned that this could also be structured as a show, because I feel like the Junimos, and this is, I don't know, kind of from like a gross marketing perspective, would be very appealing to children. And so there could be like potentially some kind of spinoff action with Junimos. Yeah. Of course.
Full capitalism mode now.
Absolutely.
Everything gets a franchise. I feel like Juminos would become like the Despicable Me's
kind of thing.
What are those things called?
Everyone's screaming again. The Minions.
The Minions. Cute. Yes. So they would become that.
Yeah.
Because they're so cute.
They're so incredibly cute. They're like Mochi that has come to life and is granting wishes.
You know, I will probably go try to see if I can find an Etsy creator or somebody else who has made a little plushie. Because I think I would like a Star Drop or a Little Jimeno plushie.
So folks, if you have an Etsy shop that you would like to recommend for Stardew Valley merch, swag, art, crafts, creations, please, stardroptpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know where your favorite places are to shop for your independently created Stardew Valley goodies, please. Okay, so next up, I want to get into some theoretical casting.
Yes, with the full understanding that we have no idea what direction this movie will go.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Exactly. Okay. So I wanted to look at both A-list actors and also indie actors. And so first proposed casting for the farmer, X. Taylor Klaus. So this is a non-binary actor. So I feel like this kind of solves the problem of how are we going to gender the farmer. I feel like they've done a lot of really great dramatic roles in like Scream. They were in the Scream franchise, that they were in Deputy, Hellfest, Blackbird. So they've done some really intense work, but I feel like this would be a really fun sort of tonal switch for them, and also a great way to approach representation of the farmer.
It can be incredible. I have not seen anything that they are in.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about how amazing it makes so much sense that the farmer should be non-binary, because otherwise you're going to have to make multiple movies, essentially.
Yeah, it's, Yeah, I just, and especially in the context of like decentering the farmer mm-hmm. and making the farmer just like another person who like shows up in scenes, not to take away from this actor at all, but I think that this could be a great way to have somebody who's like got a good range, can portray like a very determined spirit and a sense of like quiet because they are doing their own thing. So I think Bex Taylor Klaus would be a cool farmer.
I love that. I think it could be anyone, which is what I love about this. One of my thought processes was also having it be an actor that I wouldn't imagine in it because you could assign a mood. Like, what if my farmer is moody and annoyed about having to complete all these tasks? I kind of picture Emma Darcy.
Emma Darcy. Okay. Okay.
I think that they could be incredible.
Yes.
In this. I can also see the farmer as being someone who has a lot of personality because we have choices of how we can respond sometimes to the people in the village where we could say what would be considered the right thing or the most empathetic thing, which essentially gives you the most friendship points. Or we could say something like, no, screw you. Like, what are you saying to me right now? I'm going to go say the opposite. And for that person, I think that would be incredible as Bob the Drag Queen. I saw Bob the Drag Queen recently in one show at Dropout where it's about D&D and drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And I just love how Bob the Drag Queen was playing into their character super well.
They're so funny.
And once the show continued, I felt like they really understood what D&D is and like the importance of a storyline, that they could imbue that into their farmer and decide which way they go. Because they could respond with so much disdain,
yes.
You know, at anyone saying anything to me. But I know recently I told you the thing about Mayor Lewis saying like, oh, welcome, you're finally a part of the community. Now yeah. You're fucking married.
Seriously.
Like, my response there would be incredibly rude.
Yeah. Oh, super rude. So, super rude.
Yeah.
Especially for me, because we already know my stance.
Yeah. So there's that. So my vote is Emma Darcy from like a this moody perspective. But I also think that it could be really fun to have Bob the Drag Queen as a farmer. And I don't feel like they would necessarily always be a very like secondary actor because they're hysterical. But if they were in just some scenes, especially if we're decentering the farmer, every scene that they would be a part of would be phenomenal.
Okay.
So that's me for the farmer.
Incredible.
One character.
I absolutely love that take on the farmer. Okay. So next up for Robin, my yes. fave, my bestie, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Ooh, tell me more.
Okay. So I loved her in The Village. And I feel like based on that, and she has kind of, you know, she has kind of had some stinkers since then.
It happens.
But yeah, but I just think, and I mean, let me be clear, like smash hit blockbuster stinkers, like Jurassic World, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Jurassic World Dominion. And then of course, unfortunately, The Help. But I really love the amount of acting that she can do just like with her face. And I feel like especially with the amount of bullshit that Demetrius throws at her on a daily basis, I would love to see her just like absolutely smoking hot, building things with her hands. And like, I don't know, maybe turn directly to the camera when Demetrius really comes at her with some bullshit. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I already, you know, I love a fourth wall break. We already know.
Yeah.
But I think that she would be a really fun pick for Robin.
I love that. I really loved her in The Village as well. I thought that was incredible. And what I also think is one of my favorite things that she's ever done is
yes.
her being in Black Mirror. That specific Ugh. Episode where it was a point system.
Oh my God.
And she started losing points. Just the range that she delivered there was really incredible. I felt pretty terrified for her. But at the end of it, she kind of sort of liberated herself a little bit from the system. I said sort of, but, you know. And I think about Robin as, is she fully fulfilled? There's obviously some conflict in her marriage. And I think it can be easily resolved if there was just a therapist potentially, or maybe actual communication and conversation between them. Like, I think it can be easily resolved, but there's some conflict there. And so having someone who can show being very community centric and helpful, but also the internal struggle of whatever's happening within her marriage. So I like that person from a redhead perspective of just simply a redhead, nothing else.
Reductive.
Completely reductive is, I think, Jessica.
I know. Same. I know.
Let me start over.
Everyone's sweating.
I think it could be Jessica Chastain.
Oh my God.
She is incredible. One of my favorite films of all time. And for now is Interstellar. And I thought she was just so good in that.
Heart-wrenching.
So good. She also has incredible range. She was also, unfortunately, in The Help. But she's been in a lot of other things where she is very serious, or she has been a jokester. She can be more sensual. So we don't know how Robin might be in this movie. And I think she can really accomplish a lot.
Okay. Okay. Amazing. So we've got options. We went A-list. So next up, for Demetrius, I would have loved to have tapped Andre Brower to play that role. He does the super serious, like if you've ever seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he's the captain. And just the like stone-faced, super serious, like scientific approach, like all left brain. And in his portrayal, it doesn't matter. However, he is no longer with us. So folks, this is an opportunity that I would love to hear from you all. Who do you think should play Demetrius in the Stardew Valley film? Let me know.
And it also depends on how you view Demetrius too, in the sense of, is he antisocial because he hates you? Or is he antisocial because he is very likely neurodivergent and needs that space, which is awesome. So for me, I think that's important because this is where I start thinking that I would love for the majority of the people starring in this movie to be the cast of What We Do in the Shadows. Ooh. And Chris Sandiford would be so awesome as Demetrius. I found them to have been such a really cool actor, and especially after they got turned and they were in the minutiae of trying to figure it out. I think, what is it, like, they just kept their job and they're like, I don't know, I'm a vampire, but I gotta like figure out how to make rent or something. I just loved how they navigated all of their different roles of the person who was hunting vampires and then ultimately getting turned and becoming one. And then at some point they were trying to be a part of this cult as well. And there's so much range there. And
that is such a good choice.
Yeah. And we recently talked about, we don't know if Demetrius is in on the Green Rain or not.
Right.
And et cetera. So like, I feel like he could bring that to the story.
Okay. That is very interesting. Wow. That's a great pick. Okay. So next up, let's keep moving through the family. So for Sebastian, I am going to go ahead and say more of an indie pick for this role. My pick has won awards for his acting, including Best Actor at Cannes. And it is Caleb Landry Jones. Remember, son of Robin. So even though he is a little goth boy, maybe his hair is dyed. So I'm thinking redhead, natural redhead with black dyed hair. He's got those intense eyes. He can do some really brooding roles. He was in Get Out, for example. He's got some serious edge. And I think he would be really great as like a very haunting, gothy portrayal of Sebastian.
I love that. I can definitely see that. I was thinking Timothy Chalamet.
Okay. Wow.
Solely based on looks. And I think he could act as a brooding software developer who's like, oh, I live in the basement here, but and I have a motorcycle and I want to get out of town, but I don't know about it.
Wow. So who do you think should be Maru? Zendaya?
Maybe. Yeah. They have at least what I have sort of seen when they're at a red carpet or something, they have a really fun friendship. And I don't know if Maru and Sebastian truly have a sibling relationship or not. It doesn't seem like that's been cultivated in their family. Mm-hmm. And this is me really reading into the subtext.
Yeah.
But they could potentially grow to be friends.
Yep. Yeah, I would love to see that. That could potentially lead to some really beautiful moments.
So that could be cool.
Okay, for Maru, I am going to say Thuso Mbedu. So she is a South African actress. She was in The Woman King. Mm-hmm. So really, I think one to watch for sure. She hasn't been in I don't want to be critical. She has been in a ton of stuff yet, but she is certainly somebody who I think has a very bright future and has been nominated for international Emmys. So I think she would be a really fun Maru.
That can be really awesome.
And she just has these huge, thoughtful eyes that I think would like really be at home in the character of Maru.
Yeah. Because I definitely experienced that character as like very contemplative. You walk upon Maru sitting at a bench by themselves a lot.
Yep.
Just
yep.
Thinking through things. Having thoughtful eyes is such a beautiful way of putting that. Of there's not always maybe as much dialogue, but there could be a lot happening for this person at a distance. If we're following that gameplay where right. You could or could not talk to them, essentially. So that is really beautiful.
Yeah. So there's a couple picks for the next one. Of Willy. Well, I mean, they're both kind of A-list. One being Stephen Lang from Avatar. Not the Avatar that you like, though.
No.
but I'm just trying to think about somebody who's like kind of like real rough around the edges. A fun cast, though. A real shoot for the stars. Jeff Bridges. Just Ooh. Bring Mr. Big Lebowski in here. Put a pipe in his hand. Spray some salt water on him. Absolutely.
That could be really fun. If I'm bringing back to what we do in the Shadows cast, I would go with potentially Jermaine Clement.
Wow. Okay. So full what we... Yes. Perfect.
Because that character is so silly to me sometimes, especially the relationship that Willy has with their boat.
Yes.
And I feel yes. like Jermaine can really play into that.
Oh, that would be so funny. Oh my gosh. That would be so funny. Never mind. I take everything back.
No, keep yours.
Jermaine is the one. Oh, yeah. Jeff Bridges, get out of here. No, yeah. I'm deleted from the document. Okay. I kind of jumped around a little bit. Next up, who do you want for Shane?
Okay. I'm not ready.
You're not ready?
No. What a complicated character. I'd love to hear where you're going with this.
Yeah. So there's, unfortunately, I think... Joaquin Phoenix would be really good for Shane.
Ooh.
That's like the A-list pick that I was thinking about.
Okay, I can definitely see that. For me, for this character, I feel like Shane is Jake Johnson from New Girl. And okay. other things. Jake, you have done a lot. You're doing great. But I really love that particular character that Jake Johnson plays as Nick Miller. Can... be close to how Shane is in my mind.
Interesting.
Potentially. I find Shane funny sometimes.
Oh, he is.
And, well, yeah. But other times I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. That's such a fun pick. Okay.
So I think Jake Johnson could be really great. And I feel like he would also honor the story of, which is very important to talk about, just like, the alcoholism and how difficult that can be on you and your family and like relationships and the self-worth journey that I think Shane goes through, but also the silliness of someone who ends up raising blue chickens.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So that's Jane Johnson for me.
Yes. That's such a great, cause you're right. It's there's truly like looking death in the face.
Mm-hmm.
like considering suicide, choosing life, and then inventing blue chickens. Like that's incredible. Ugh. Okay. Next up, what about Abigail? This is another one where I could also see Thuso Mbidu being a really great pick for, because again, like I think she could really just do anything. But she's got that like warrior, quiet warrior spirit vibe, that because Abigail has a sword in her dresser. Let's not forget about that. But also has like long purple hair that she famously maintains through dyeing it. So I feel like there could be some really gorgeous long hairstyles that we could get into. Yeah, that would be maybe one of my picks for Abigail.
Oh my gosh. This is so tough, because
there's also like some less, sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm having a moment of just who would this be? Because for me, there's the fact that we see Abigail hanging out by the cemetery. They let you know that they're also a video gamer. You like help them with a video game. They want to play the flute under the rain. Like, that's so beautiful.
That's true.
They're also having a tumultuous relationship with their mother, sort of, and wanting to be seen. And the mom's trying to make Abigail live a certain life that isn't happening, potentially because of who is or not the father of Abigail, creating that conflict. You know, mother and daughter relationships are incredibly difficult if you have them and you have a wonderful relationship with your mother or your daughter. Congratulations. I love that for you. And so that, for me, that's Florence Pugh.
Whoa. Okay.
And I feel like Florence would also be the kind of person that would tell you, yeah, I just want you to send me this rock because I want to eat it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She absolutely, as a, oh my God, as a sexy little troll looking little girl, absolutely. I can definitely see her just munching on a nice piece of like aventurine or something. Mm-hmm. For sure. That, okay. That's a great pick.
My other thought process here is, what if we age up some characters? Because it makes me uncomfortable that I just don't fully know Maru's age or Abigail's age. And I feel like it would be really cool to live in Pelican Town in this movie with Abigail potentially being older. And it's also still okay that they live with their mom, because we live in a very expensive society and many people are going to live back home based on things that are happening currently in today's world. For me, someone who could portray that in a really funny way, besides Florence Pugh, yes, and it, taking it back to what we do in the shadows, would also be Natasha.
Ah, oh, come on.
Demetria.
I mean, sure. Yes. Of course. She can do anything.
I also imagine Abigail having a little accent pop up and, you know, saying, because she could be related to the wizard, which we have to get to. I need to know. I know that I'm skipping over her mom and potentially her dad.
Okay, so, but you want to know my pick for the wizard?
Who is the wizard?
Okay. One more for, I know we're just like going in on Abigail. Thomas and Mackenzie. I know we were exploring aging her up. Thomas and Mackenzie, the actor, is 24. So that's well within
that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of going for here. I'm trying to just, yeah, nothing worrying. Okay, so back to the wizard. Do you have any picks for the wizard?
There's only one person in my mind that is the wizard, and that's Matt Berry.
Okay.
From, again, What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
I would absolutely imagine the wizard being like, welcome to New York City. And... but they say that about welcome to Pelican. Completely butchering this, but something about Pelican Town.
Okay, I hate how right you are about this.
And he has a hat that he wears that he loves, even though it ruins his life, as Laszlo.
Okay.
And that.
I feel like we're really crossing streams here.
We're absolutely crossing streams. The wizard has so much weird shit happening. They've got their ex-wife who is a witch.
Yeah.
Who could also be Natasha. Maybe that's how we bring her in because we need this whole cast. I think she would be... Actually, I take it back. She's not Abigail at all. She is the witch.
She's the witch.
Done. Done. That makes sense.
The most perfect witch. Oh my gosh. Okay.
So I'm washing my hands. I am complete.
Here's the problem though. Okay. Matt Berry is such a good actor that I could see him as the wizard in a way. I also could really see him as Clint. Like, I think he would I think he would actually kill it as Clint with, yeah. Like, I think he's the one who could do it.
I don't know. Because to me, Clint has so much repressed energy.
Yes.
About who they are themselves and is so awkward, especially in their connection with other people. And Matt Berry is able to connect with anyone in a really genuine way that is undeniable because he's an incredible actor. But that could be a challenge. How do you make it so awkward where everyone feels uncomfortable around you? Remains to be seen. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to say no.
Okay. So for Clint though, Paul Walter Hauser, he's a comedian. He's an actor. He's a podcaster. He's a occasional professional wrestler for Major League Wrestling. So I feel like we're getting into that sort of pent up anger. Clint hammers things for his job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like stands next to a furnace. So I think Paul Walter Hauser could be an interesting pick, especially because I would really love to see him play a super straight role because he is such a incredible clown. And mm-hmm. I say that with like all the love.
Yeah. I am loving this because this is, again, proving so many directions that this movie can take. There's two directions for me. If we go the younger-ish Clint, because Clint has a beard. And a beard can make someone definitely look way older than they are.
Okay.
Clint could be 30. Clint could be 45.
Clint could be... Well, he can't be... No. Clint could be 19.
I think that's pushing it.
Okay. Thought experiment? Hey, you're not saying that there was that guy at your high school who had a full beard.
Oh, 100%, right? No, multiple people.
Yeah.
But I think that Clint's older. I think it's canon that Clint is a bit older. And I will Google that later. If Clint is slightly younger, so like maybe 30 or definitely like mid 30s to 40, it could be back to what we do in the shadows. Who was Guillermo?
Yes.
Because
Harvey Guillen.
Yeah.
Oh my. Hey.
Because Clint needs to be played by someone who understands the brilliance of being awkward.
Yes.
In public situations where you're just like, and I'm a blacksmith because my father was a blacksmith, because my grandfather was a blacksmith. And guess what? My great grandfather was. And then you're a farmer, you're like, I am just here to break this geode. It's like,
please.
Can I get my
like, I already paid you.
I'm my hoe. I need to elevate my tools. You told me it's important for that new season. And I go back to him and it's like, blacksmith. I'm like, you're amazing. Like,
okay, amazing. Good.
Wow. So imagine that. Like, I feel like he would crush it. That would be so funny. But then if we're going older, Nick Offerman.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You see it.
Immediately. Wow. I feel like this is so fun. Oh my gosh. Okay, Nick Offerman. And he's just the best. And seems like a real sweetie too.
Yes. So at least, you know, hopefully we're not proven wrong because it's important to not idolize anyone.
allegedly but sweetie.
I'm glad that so far it seems great.
Yeah. Okay. Fingers crossed. All right. I'm going to go back to my little list over here.
Yeah, I guess we can go back to Abigail's presumed parents.
No, no, we're moving on. Penny.
Well, you're like, forget Caroline Pierre.
No, we can. All right. All right. who do you like for Caroline then?
For Caroline.
You're just still doing what we do in the shadows.
100%. No.
Oh my God. At least one of us is taking this. Okay.
Yes. What do you mean I'm taking this so seriously? Okay.
Wow. All right. So who?
I think it could be Vanessa Bayer.
Vanessa Bayer.
She was an emotional vampire. Oh. Her name was Evie. Oh. And she was so good at trying to drain Colin, who is Mark. I don't know who. Okay. I feel like he has to be in this, but whatever. She was so, so good in it. And she, I think, gets a kick out of messing with Pierre.
I unfortunately love this choice.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Because I don't want to. I don't want to feed into the bit.
Stop it with the cast.
No, yeah. I know. But she just has one of those faces that I just does. Like look at her and I'm just like, I'm dying. I'm cracking up. I'm splitting my sides. Like, and her mouth, like, how many teeth do you think she has in there?
Enough to tell me about her little tea shop and show me that she's got some monkeys coming out of her cup. She would love that. She would do so well in that scene. Could you imagine? She's like, hey, would you like some green tea?
Yeah.
Wink, wink. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure. Everything's fine.
She would holy absolutely moly. Do that to me. Yeah, with the face acting. Oh, my God. You're killing me. Mm-hmm. I wish this wasn't so accurate. Goddamn. All right. Wow. So I had.
What do you think?
It doesn't matter what I think. Let's move on.
No. Who did you pick? I won't go first. You have to tell me your picks and then I'll tell you mine.
Yeah,
ideas.
I don't know. I was kind of, honestly, I was kind of thinking Naomi Watts.
Okay, yeah.
For Caroline, because she, like, we've all seen and been destroyed by the ring.
Yes.
Yeah. And like Mulholland Drive is amazing. King Kong was a film I watched. I didn't know that Jack Black was in that movie though until I was in the theater. And then I was, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound. But I think Naomi Watts would be a really, I just want to see her with green hair.
Yeah.
But anyway, my choice is completely bullshit compared to Vanessa fucking Bayer. Oh my God.
Listen, this cast is incredible. So... I am just someone who gets to enjoy them, hopefully, in multiple things.
Yeah. Okay. We unfortunately do have to cast Pierre now.
And I love that we just are saying unfortunately because, yeah, he's an interesting person. There is an entire subreddit dedicated to Pierre. And it's not about liking him. At all.
I have seen this. Yeah.
It's fuck Pierre. It's incredible.
/ fuck Pierre.
And there are so many valid points. He doesn't give a shit about his family. Clearly, he just really cares about his shop. He doesn't even acknowledge the relationship with his potential daughter. Like, I feel like he never really talks about Abigail. And it's just about, should I increase the prices at the shop? And this guy over here is trying to take me out of business, whatever. Or come buy these seeds. I'm like, okay, what about your family?
Yeah.
What about your family, dude?
Yeah.
And I need someone, whoever plays this character, I need them to be really self-centered.
Okay. That is...
And someone that, frankly, I don't think I ever root for. Because I feel like as we continue to... have our friendship, I don't learn anything new where I'm like, I like you.
Right.
Like, not once do I actually think that. So kind of like, I don't think, feel like I fully hate him, but I don't ever actually like him either.
Okay. Interesting.
And I know I haven't said an actor, but that's just my thoughts about who I think would play this person.
Yeah. I think that there's a certain amount of like face punchability that has to be as part of Pierre's casting. He's got to have a punchable face. And for that reason, I think that potentially Anthony Starr from Fame of The Boys could be really good. He has a highly punchable face. And then honestly, who I would love if we could just go maximum budget, Stanley Tucci.
Oh. Oh. Mm.
I want to see, because he does a great villain. When he was in The Lovely Bones, like, disgusting.
Oof.
And like, I love the Tooch. I love watching him cook in his tight little shirts. He's a hot man. He's a good looking man. He can also, he's got range.
Oh yeah.
And he could be vile.
I was not expecting that out of him when I saw that movie. And I remember being devastated when I read the book. That was an incredible movie. Oh my gosh. Wow. That is great. Are you going to hate me?
No. All right. Tell me. Who is it? Come on.
We're going to go back to the person that plays Colin Robinson. It's Mark. What is it? Proshk? But speaking about punchable faces.
Yeah.
Give me a break. And.
Yeah. I think it's Proshk. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Because I do eventually kind of end up liking Colin Robinson, especially there's a whole season where we meet the new one. That was wild. That was so wild to like learn the backstory of what does it mean to be the type of vampire, the energy vampire that he is.
Yes.
That was so incredible.
That was mind bending.
Yeah. And if we really think about Pierre, I feel like he's an energy vampire.
Okay. All right. That's great.
And scene. No. Wow. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But that's so funny. I think that could be really cool. So I'm not sure.
Okay. So Mark Prop. Prosh is good. Yeah. Great. Okay. Cool. Okay. I want to go back to Penny. Who do you think could play Penny?
And you have told me recently that you feel like Penny is like a martyr.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's a big time martyr.
Okay, so then who do you think Penny would be?
I decided on Sydney Flanagan for Penny. She is more of an indie actor, but again, has already been nominated for some Critics' Choice Awards and like Independent Spirit Award for Best Female Lead. She was in Rounding, Only the Good Survive, Eco Village, Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. So she's sort of like an indie darling, I would say. I would look out for her. But she's got that kind of like combination of, she's obviously stunning, but we could really like plain Jane her down and she could just be suffering nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
She could be suffering.
And what we really need here is someone suffering. Who's suffering.
Like, yeah. I'm looking at her headshot right here. Those are some sad eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some parentified child eyes.
Ooh, parentified, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going through the headshots. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Especially when we find Penny just like cross-legged underneath the tree. And I feel like it was just, oh, hey.
Yeah. Like just so deeply sad and devastated.
Yeah.
And like joyless. Yeah.
And then I just imagine Bob the drag queen going over.
Oh!
Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yes. And she doesn't even say anything. She looks, or she'll, oh my God, no, she wouldn't not say something. She'd be like, well, it's just a lot of work, you know, being the only adult taking care of the house.
And valid. Like, valid.
I know it's valid, but it's also like you can ask for help.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Also, I feel like she's old enough that if she wanted to, potentially, because she's also making money,
yeah,
live somewhere else. But then we get into, we're having a housing situation in Pelican Town and we need to address it. There's not enough housing for people.
Yes.
And that could be why Penny is living at home. So as we continue to develop this town, we can make affordable housing as we have done. I know that you have multiple houses on your property.
I keep trying.
So there's that potential. If we're going that route, I'm just going to stick with where.
Yeah, do it.
Me, Elstein. Oh. I just feel like they'd be so fun, especially doing it in a way of like, yeah, well, I guess now that my mom can drive the bus, maybe I'll do something else and live my life. And oh, look at me just helping these kids, but I have these bigger dreams. Incredible. And I just like, I feel like they'd be so funny, so hysterical. I really like them in the movie Booksmart. They were so funny in it, of just talking about, I'm gonna go to the school, and like all of their self-worth was invested in this title and this, the prestige of school. And then they found out that they had put so much of their worth in that they didn't allow themselves to have fun. And then they found out that people ended up having a life and having fulfillment and then also got into great schools. And it's just like, how much pressure do we put on themselves? And Penny does that. Penny puts so much pressure on herself to try to be like this perfect, dutiful daughter who is clearly very resentful of her mother.
Yes. Oh, yes. Deeply.
Am I reading into this too much?
What do you mean?
It's just a game.
Totally. This is not related to anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but for like the how beautiful this movie could be, like those are the kind of things that I would want the movie to have.
Yep. No, that's fair.
Am I asking for too much for my the characters to have emotional range? So
no, yeah. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beanie Feldstein is a really fun pick. I've got two for Pam.
Okay.
Speaking of the family. One is Allison Janney. So she was in I, Tonya. I believe she did play Tonya's mom. And so she can play an alcoholic. We know that. And yeah, I think she would be a really good pick. Also, Siobhan Fallon Hogan would be a great pick for Pam. She just can really lean into that, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like gritty diner waitress.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of vibe. She was in Men in Black. Like she's been out here doing work. I think she would be a great pick for Pam.
I love that. Those both of those actresses I think would be incredible. And you can put so much backstory to Pam. Like what led Pam to be Pam today?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the housing insecurity.
There's a lot that has happened to create the Pam that we meet. So, wild card for me.
Say it.
Not What We Do in the Shadows.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer. Oh! Fuck.
Could you imagine driving the bus?
God. Oh, whoa.
And hey, Gus, pass me another one.
Yeah.
Like, but in her voice, too. Because again, we don't know what they sound like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want Jennifer to change a thing about her voice. I want
no that. Ever.
Yeah, ever.
Oh my gosh, we don't have time, but like, what an incredible career.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 Okay. Wow. That was like such a wild left turn from your bit that you have been doing.
It's not a bit.
I know it's not over. By it,
so yeah.
Okay, incredible.
Wow.
Coolidge.
Yes.
I mean, if we can get Stanley Tucci, we can get Jennifer Coolidge. Come on.
There's no budget.
There's no budget. I'm just thinking about this. What I really would love to see if I truly was the casting director for this is I would love to see like a really great mix of indie and A-list.
Mm-hmm.
Like just really folks from all over the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to see that. Okay.
And pay everyone the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
What an incredible cast. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get to everyone because we have barely touched into like all of the tertiary characters that we meet at the desert, at the Island, etc.
I have a hilarious pick for Sandy, though.
You're like, great.
Selma Hayek.
Oh.
Just go full on.
Yeah.
Like just it's just Selma Hayek.
I love that. There's a lot happening there.
Yeah. And like for example, like Jody, we could do Sarah Paulson, we could do Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm. You're like you're not giving me your pick. These are the
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did want to tell you who I think Sandy could be.
Yeah.
And I think it could be Christina Hendricks. Okay. She has the pizzazz of Sandy to me.
Yeah.
They're like super high femme.
Yep. Yep.
There's the incredible figure, obviously, but the hair, the face, and then, you know, the profile picture that we get for Sandy is someone who is just like
hello. Bodacious.
Yeah. So
yeah.
There's that.
Babe. For Krobus, I was gonna say Doug Jones, who you may be familiar with from playing freaky little beasts such as the Fishman in Shape of Water, Pan in Pan's Labyrinth. He was in Fantastic Four as the Silver Surfer. He was in Hellboy. He was in Hocus Pocus. This is somebody who has built a career off of being a freaky little creature.
And he is
6'4". He's not little. Yeah.
Also in What We Do in the Shadows. Thank you very much.
Wow. How happy are you right now?
I'm loving this. Because I was like, I definitely see it could be the Baron. Yeah.
Oh. Because I was just looking at his film credits. Because I was like, oh, of course, Nosferatu, Crimson Peak. Not the most recent Nosferatu, the 2023 one. But Crimson Peak? Yeah. God damn it.
Thank you for proving my theory correct.
All right, whatever. We haven't even got to so many other characters, folks.
No.
Okay. So. I'm going to speed round some stuff. Okay. Let's go for it. Lewis.
Oh my God. The mayor. So this is, I think that potentially could be
Richard Jenkins.
That's a really good one.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
From 6 Feet Under?
Yeah.
I think he could do a really great job. Because it's the right amount of slime.
Mm. I don't think I have anything to say against that.
Great.
Yeah, I think I'm complete. For Harvey, that is going to be, for me, I'm going to take it back to What We Do in the Shadows.
Natch.
I think the person who plays Nandor.
Oh.
Kayvon Novak. Harvey could be a sweetie. Harvey could be incredibly egotistical. At one point, Harvey is saying how upset he is that people are healthy during flu season because he's not making money.
Yeah.
And that's something that the person that plays Nandor would do.
Dev Patel
would be
as
awesome.
Harvey.
Oh, yes.
As Harvey.
Oh, but also the mustache.
Obsessed with planes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So.
Oh, yeah. I do remember. Yes, because Harvey has a whole plane.
Yes, collection. He does. Yeah. And like listens, like has the radios and everything. What about Emily?
Yeah, that's going to have to be another episode. Yeah. What do you think about Emily?
I would say Jessie Buckley is probably going to be my pick for Emily. She has the freaky weirdo kind of vibe down. And I would just love to see her in a weird little blue wig. Just being herself.
Just being herself.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I definitely see that. I think we might have to come back to this. This has been incredible.
Yeah, this
has
been so fun.
But realistically, I think we're going to be talking about this for hours.
Yes, we already have.
So, yes, we already have. And it's important we take a break and all that. But I also want to have it be another episode. So I think we're come back to whatever comes next. I'm super stoked for us to keep chatting about this because we have so many characters to decide on.
A lot of
opinions.
But
we're not even deciding because at the end of the day, we don't even know what the movie is about.
No, so. No, we don't. And so folks, write in, let us know who do you think should play these different characters? And also who are your favorite other characters that we have totally forgotten? The folks on Ginger Island. Who would play Morris? There's so many questions.
Oh, there really are. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you next.
Oh my gosh, as always. Thank you for listening. And if you have some Stardrop tea to share with us, email stardropteapodcast@gmail.com.
Follow to get all of our upcoming episodes as soon as they land and rate this episode 5 stardrops.
Our cover art is by Brianne Burnell and our theme music is by Eggward. Links to both their work are in show notes.
Make sure to take good care of yourself and your community. Bye.
Bye.